Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Mem Gimel. We are holding on daf Mem Beis on Beis. We are at Rav Papa Amar, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the end of the page. We're in the middle of discussing how we know that the Beis Haskila was Chutz L'Gimel Machnos, that it had to be outside of the Machna Shechina, outside the Machna Leviya, outside the Machna Yisrael, and we had one possibility yesterday where we derived it from Gzera Shava. So we're going to have two more possibilities today of how we know that the Beis Haskila is Chutz L'Gimel. Then the Gemara is going to have an interesting discussion about who pays for the items that were needed in Beis Din in order to carry out an execution. The items that we killed the person with, the items that might be used to help save the person right in the nick of time, right before the execution, the items that might dull his pain during the execution. Who pays for these items? Does the executed himself have to pay for these items, or does the tzibur pay for these items? The Gemara is also going to discuss if someone claims that they could be melamed zchus, and then before they have a chance to say anything, they go mute. Do we kill the person, or do we assume that there must have been something that we didn't hear? Also, the Gemara talks about at what point and how do we judge if a melamed zchus al atzmo has a substantive claim? Because the Mishnah says, "Yesh mamish bedvarav," we bring it back 4 or 5 times. What do you mean mamish bedvarav? Who decides if mamish bedvarav? How do they decide if mamish bedvarav? Does he even need mamish bedvarav on the first time? Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph is going to discuss about how we announce the execution, just so that in case somebody knows something, they might be able to come to Beis and turn the Edom into Edom Zavman and overturn the conviction. You'll notice there's a decent sized blank space on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, and that's because this is one of those dapim where there is a chesronos hashas, where the censor has taken away several lines of Gemara. In some of the more recent editions, they've added those lines back in. There's a whole sefer called Chesronos Hashas of those things that were taken out. There is a section here about Yeshu Hanotzri, about Yashka, and maybe we'll read that section if we have time to do so. And then on the top of Amud Beis, we're going to have two different statements of Rabbi Shur ben Levi about Tshuva and Kapara. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about how we extract a vidui from the person prior to his execution. And since the basis of that, or one of the ways that we show that a vidoy works prior to execution to give a person a kapara, is from the story of Achan, the Gemara talks a little bit about the story of Achan and how Yoshua got Achan to confess to his sin before killing him. Then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss Arvus a little bit. At what point did Klal Yisrael become Arevim Zelaza, and are we even Arev for each other? Are we even responsible for each other's sins when those sins are committed b'seser? Certainly a sin that's begully that we all know about, we have to do whatever we can to try to stop others from sinning. What if a person sins b'seser? Is that our problem and something that that we are all collectively punished for? So let's begin Rav Papa Amar, the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored again by Avishai Nele Shavnuman, L'schusser for Shlema, for Chaim Naftali Ben Frimit Freida, and for Sarah Freida Baschaya. They should both have for Shlema B'soch Shar Chale Yisrael. So we're holding again Rav Papa Amar. Rav Papa Amar, Moshe Hechav Yosef, meaning at the time that they took the Mekalel out to give him Skila, where exactly was Moshe Rabbeinu sitting? B'machne Leviya. He himself was in the Machne Leviya. V'amar le'rachmana, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, get the Mekalel out of here. So apparently the Mekalel certainly had to be taken out of the Machna Leviya to be killed. Chutz L'Machna Leviya. And then the pasuk goes on to say, Vayotziu Es HaMekalel El Michutz L'Machna, that they took him El Michutz L'Machna. That adds an additional Machna, Chutz L'Machna Yisrael. That teaches us that he was even taken outside of the Machna Yisrael. Frakti Gemara Hami Bayle Lasiya. No, the second pasuk just is needed to tell us that they followed Moshe Rabbeinu's instruction. It's not adding an additional machna, it's that same machna, but this is them actually doing it, taking him outside of the machna. Says Gemara, no, asiya b'had yiksiva. We already have a different pasuk that tells us about asiya. It says Ubnei Yisrael asu kashar tziva Hashem es Moshe. So that would already include everything that Moshe had initially instructed. Why does it have to also add vayotziu es hamakalel el michutz l'machna? It must be to tell us that they took him out of an additional machna, not only the machna leviya, but even the machna Yisrael. And that is the source, Rav Papa says, for the idea that someone who gets skila has to be brought outside of all three machnos. Elameata vayirgamu oso even my avdilei. What do we do with vayirgamu oso even? So says Gemara, umi bayile lichadetanya. We need vayirgamu, meaning once you already have a pasuk that tells us that bnei Yisrael asuka shartiva Hashemus Moshe, that they did everything that Moshe that Hashem told Moshe to do. So why does it have to report that they stoned him? Of course they stoned him. That was part of the instruction of what they were supposed to do. So what's that pasuk adding? What it's adding is the following. So we make two important drushos from that phrase. Oso velo b'ksuso. First of all, it says oso, and that teaches us that it has to be directly on his body. He is not wearing any clothing at the time of the skila, lest it slow down his death and make it more painful. So he has no clothing. It's directly on him. And then even, from the fact that it says even and not avanim, we say she'im meis be'avanachas yotza, that if you throw one stone and that's enough, and he dies right there with one stone, you're yotza. You don't need to throw multiple stones at him if he dies immediately. And the Torah has to tell me both the word even and the word avanim. Why? I might have thought that if it only would have said Evan, I would have said, you only throw one stone no matter what happens. Even if he survives that one stone, it's just one stone, it's just Evan, and that's it. He's not going to die. So, Kasrachmana Avanim, that's why it has to say Avanim, that if necessary, you have to throw more than one stone. So, why doesn't it just say Avanim? Vikasrachmana Avanim, Hava Amina Meikara Naisitarte. If it would have said Avanim, I would say that you always have to throw multiple stones, and even initially, you don't just throw one, throw a bunch of stones. Kas Rachmana Evan, that's why it says Evan, to tell me that if he dies with one, there's no need to bring any more than one stone. So Vaha Haitana Ne'emar Ka'amar. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, why do we so far have two explanations of where we of the source for where we know that you have to bring the Mekal, bring the guy who's getting skila chutz le gimel machnos? We have Gzera Shava and we have Rav Papa's drasha from the number of times it says Michutz Lamachne. So ask the Gemara, but the Tana, the Braisa, had a Gzera Shava. So why does Rav Papa need to make his own drasha? So Ilu Lo Ne'emar Ka'amar. No, what the Braisa means to say is, had we not had a Pasuk like Rav Papa Darshan's, then we would have made such a Gzera Shava. V'hachi Ka'amar. Ilu Lo Ne'emar Kra Hayisi Omer Gzera Shava. Had it not been for a Pasuk, I would have suggested that it's derived from Gzereshava. Achshav Shneemar Kra Gzereshava Lo Tzarich. But now that we have a pasuk that says it beferish, so then we don't need the Gzereshava. The Kiddush Aran asked the question: why did Rav Papa and Rav Ashi not rely on the Gzereshava? That we know they ain adam done Gzereshava me'atzmal and can kibla mirabo. So apparently, if there was a tradition for such a Gzereshava, so then why is it that that Rav Papa and Rav Ashi are going to look for their own explanations of where we know Chutz L'Gimel Machnos? And if there wasn't a tradition for Gzer Shavah, then how does Gzer Shavah get off the ground to begin with? So the Chiddush Aran suggests Rav Papa and Rav Ashi had the same kasha that Tosos has over here in Daf Mem Beis and Beis in Dibra Maschil V'ne'emar, where how could you learn from Mekalel from the Parmar Nisrafim with Gzer Shavah? The Parmar Nisrafim themselves are only learned from a Hekish that the Par Koin Meshuach is compared to the Par Ha'eda and to the Shefa Chadeshen. So by Kachim, something that's learned from a Hekish cannot be Chozer Malamed B'Gzer Shava. That's a Sugya in Zvachim Daf Mem Tes. So if you hold that something that since the Lomad is Chulin, meaning the Mekalel is Chulin, so the Mekdoshin, which meaning the Parman Esrafim, could be Malamed on that which is Chulin, because you follow the Lomad, meaning there is a rule in Kachim. A lot of times you have rules that apply to certain areas of Torah and not to other areas of Torah. There's a rule in Kachim A that you're not allowed to be melamed min alamad. That if something itself is only derived from a Hekesh, you cannot then turn around and use that to teach through a Gzeir Shava. But that's only a rule in Kachim, it doesn't apply anywhere else. So the question is, what determines whether the topic is Kachim? Is the Melamed Kachim, or is the Lamad, that which we're learning to, or that which we're learning from? How do we define whether it's Kachim? So if you hold like the Shita Mesechus Zvachim, that since the Lamad is Chulin, so then you don't have to follow this rule, so the Mukdashim, which are Parma and Srafim, could be Melamed about the Mekalel, which is Chulin, because you always follow the Lamad. But if you hold like the other Shita, that you follow the Melamed, and you can't, even though the Lamad is Chulin, the Melamed is Kachim, so how can you learn the Mekalel from the Parma and Srafim? So that was Rav Papa and Rav Ashi's problem. That's why they didn't like this Gzeir Shava. So it turns out, the Machlokas between the Braisa on the one hand, that has this Gzeir Shava, and Rav Papa and Rav Ashi, that are searching for other drushos and do not want to rely on this Gzeir Shava, is the machlokas in that Gemara, Mesechus Zvachim, that ain lemeidin min alamad by kachim. How do we determine what's called kachim? Is the lamad kachim, or is the melamed kachim? So now, in the first wide line of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara suggests a third possibility of how we know that you're motzi chutz le gimel machnos. Rav Ashi Amar Moshe hechav Yosef b'machna levia. Once again, Moshe himself was already sitting in the machna levia when he was told to v'amar le'rachmana hotzi asamikalel chutz. That he was told to take the Mekalel Chutz L'machna, and that's Chutz L'machna Leviyah. And then it says, Hosea's Mekalel Chutz, that alone would teach us L'machna Leviyah. Just from the word Chutz would already teach us out of the L'machna Leviyah. But then it doesn't just say the word Chutz, it says, El Mi Chutz L'machna, that must teach us Chutz L'machna Yisrael, that it's beyond the L'machna Leviyah, that he's even outside of the L'machna Yisrael. Meaning what Rav Ashi is doing differently than Rav Papa, is Rav Papa used two different psukim to teach that he goes outside of the Machna Levia and then outside of the Machna Yisrael. Rav Ashi is saying you don't need two different pasukim. It says the word chutz twice in one pasuk. So the very first pasuk already teaches us that he's outside of the Machna Yisrael. What do I then do with the pasuk that Rav Papa used that then reports that he actually was taken out? Vayotziu as a mekalel la'asiya. Vayotziu as a mekalel is just to tell us that they actually did it. But the instructions are already clear in the first pasuk that he had to be brought outside of all three machnos. But don't we already have Asiya reported in the pasuk? Because it says they did everything that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded. So why does it have to have another pasuk that also tells us that they brought him out? No, that's to teach us a different din, that they did smicha on him and dechia, that they had to lean on him, and that's all part of the process of the skila. Amalei Rabban Rav Ashi l'didach kolhani hotzi d'ksivi b'parma nesrafim ma'idrash tibuhu. Now, according to Rav Ashi, that when we say ve'yotziu oso el michutz l'machna, that it's always a double hotza'ah. So, by now we can go back to those psukim that we had by the parma nesrafim, and there's a double hotza'ah by all of them. So, what are we going to make? What sort of drushes are we going to make over there? Says Gemara Kasha. That's taka difficult. What are we? What sort of drushes are we going to make? Is very difficult. The Rashbam in Babasa Dafnun and Beis famously quotes Rabbeinu Chananel that whenever we say the word kasha, it is different than the word tiyufta. Tiyufta is an unanswerable question. Kasha is a question that is somewhat easily answered. We just don't bother saying the answer, but the Gemara has an answer in its back pocket. So what is the answer the Gemara has in its back pocket over here on the word kasha? What do we do with the yotzios al mechutz l'machna, with all the chutzes that you have by Parim and Asrafim? So the Sefer Chamra V'Chaya writes that the answer might be that when it comes to the Mekalel, we could darshan from the fact that it says Hotzi and it doesn't say Horgo Samichot Samachna, it's Hotzi or Samichot Samachna. So it's coming to teach us about an additional Machna. But by Hotzi, by the Parim, there's no other possibility of how it could have been said. It has to say Vahotzi Esapar El Michot Samachna. There was no other option. So it could be that's why the Gemara says Kasha and not Tiyufta, because the only reason Ravashi darshans the double hotza'ah by the Mekalel is because there's an alternative way that it could have phrased it. So by not choosing that alternative way, it's drawing our attention to the hotza'ah specifically. Whereas when it comes to the Parim and Asrafim, there is no alternative way it could have been phrased, and therefore there's no special drasha to be made. Echad omed. So we said that in order to carry out the skila, what they would do was they'd have one guy stand at the Pesach HaBezin with a flag, they'd have another guy with a horse at a distance that's far enough that he's going to get a significant head start to be able to try to catch up to the guy, but close enough that he's still able to see the flag. So the Gemara just points out that all of this costs money to find the rocks and schlep them that you can throw on the guy, or to, you know, whatever they use to kill a person for chenek and for straight for the hot lead. Someone has to pay for that, and not only that, a horse costs money. You can get a thoroughbred to go and chase after this guy. These things all cost money. Who pays for all this? So I'm Rav Huna Pshitali, Echad Evin Shiniskal Bo, Vechad Eit Shinitl Bo, Vechad Saif Shinarag Bo, Vechad Suda Shinechnak Bo, whatever they use to actually do the execution by the Dalad Misos Pesdin, Kulan Mishal Tzibur. That's the community's responsibility to pay for. That we're not going to make the guy himself pay for such a thing. That's obvious. The Tosus raises the question, we didn't list all of the things that cost money over here. Tosus points out, there's also the psila shenisrafba, and we didn't mention that one, meaning once we're mentioning everything that a person gets killed, why not mention that? So Tosus says that Rav Huna is going on the brisa that we're going to have in a couple of days from now, that it said that it mentions all the things that are mentioned over here that are buried with him. And by the psila that they throat, that they pour down his throat, that is already inside of his body, so it's not going to be listed in a Mishnah or a Braisa that discusses that which is buried with him, because of course it's buried with him, it's already become a part of him. So this is just the list that, you know, that's a Meshigra Delishna that the Gemara mentions. The Chiddush Eran suggests that we don't mention the Psila because it's really, really cheap. But the truth is that is also Mishal Tzibur, because it's the same Svara that we're not going to make a guy pay for his own execution. It just doesn't get mentioned because it's so inexpensive. Says in my time, why demididei lo, meaning we would never tell a guy you have to go and kill yourself. So that's why it's just not derech eretz to make a guy pay for his own. For his own Misa. So the Sefer Bir Chashai is not sure. Does Gemara mean to say that the mitzvah of Misa's Beis Din is a chiv on the Beis Din, or it's a chiv on Kol Yisrael, V'yarta Ra Mikrabecha, but not on the Nidon himself? And therefore, even if he's if he tries to get out of it, he's not mevatel the mitzvah. He's only let's say he escapes. So has the man himself been mevatel the mitzvah, or is he just prevented Beis Din from being able to fulfill their mitzvah? So that's a question, the Birch Shai, meaning what's the lumdus over here? They pay for it because we're not going to make him pay for his own execution. Does that mean that it's just not Derech Eretz? Or does it mean, no, we can't make him pay for his own execution because it's not his mitzvah? I can't force you to pay for my mitzvah. It's Beis Din's mitzvah, it's Tzibur's mitzvah, and we can't make him pay for someone else's mitzvah. So that's the discussion that the Achronim have. By Rav Huna, Suda Shemenifin Bo, Vesus Sherots Uma Amidon Mishalmi, Mishalmihu. Meaning, do we assume, we discussed so far the things that are actually used to kill him. What about the things that are there to save him in case someone is Melamed Zchus to catch up to him before he gets killed? The flag, the horse. Do we say that it's his life that we're trying to save with this, so he should pay for it? Or do we say, no, it's Beis Din's mitzvah, Avid Silu Eida. It's their job to try to save him, and therefore they should be the ones to pay for it. That we would give him some sort of intoxicating beverage before killing him, based on the pasuk Tenu Sheikh Alovid V'ayin L'Mari Nefesh V'Tanya Noshim Yikar Shib Yerushalayim Ha'imis Nadvus M'Avius L'San. And the Braisa teaches us that there were generous women in Yerushalayim who would always provide this to the Beis Din. They were the ones that donated this to the Beis Din. Good, so it was nice to have people to make donations. But Lois Nadvu Noshim Yikaros Mishalmi, what if those women would not have been Misnadev? These beverages would not have been Misnadev? These samim that make the person intoxicated, then what would the halacha have been? Who would pay for it? Says Mar Havad, they mistavra Mishal tzibur. Given the chsiv tenu miditu, it says tenu sheikh ala ovid v'yayin lamari nefesh. So tenu is, it's our mitzvah nesina. Now you see, it's our mitzvah to give it to the person. So that's why that certainly would have to come from the Beis Din. It's not his mitzvah to get drunk. It's our mitzvah to intoxicate him. This gemara is the source for a very well-known minag, but it's not so well-known where it comes from. It comes from this gemara. The Sefer Kolbo writes that when there are a lot of people that drink wine together, let's say at a wedding or something, if one of the mesubim wants to be motzi everybody else, so it's a well-known minag, you say, Savri, Marnon, Rabnon, right? You tell everyone, pay attention, Savri or Savar or something like that, before you say the Bar Priya Gafen. And he says, why is it that we say Savri before we start? So he says, Machlokas by Birchsa Mazel, whether it's Tu'unakos or Eina Tu'unakos. So you have to say Savri Marai, and it's like you're asking them, I'm asking Rishus to be Mvarich Halakos, even though there are those that hold that there's no Chiyuv to be Mvarich Halakos. And then the response is L'chaim, says the Kolbo. Why is the response L'chaim? So he says, when you say the L'chaim, it's because there's an additional kavana. Not just, yeah, okay, go ahead and say the bracha L'kos, that this Kos Shel Yayin should be L'chaim, as opposed to another Kos Shel Yayin that was L'misa. Meaning here they had a Kos Shel Yayin Dafka that was used at the time of Misa. So when one drinks a Kos Shel Yayin, they say L'chaim to show that it should be L'chaim and not L'misa. And the minig is that it's done on more intoxicating beverages than wine, meaning over here it's not just wine, it's wine with this Lavona, whatever that was, and whatever effect that had. So if you have something that's going to have more of an effect than wine would have, so you want to highlight that it's going to be L'chaim. Others suggest that the L'chaim comes from all other sorts of cases where wine did not do so well for us. Noach or Adam Arishon, if you assume that the Eitz Hadas was a Geffen, that there were unfortunately many situations where wine was used L'mavas. So we need to say L'chaim, that this wine should be L'chaim. And that's why we say a L'chaim. V'ayimin erev acha bar huna merav sheshes. Amar echad min ha-talmidim yesh li lamed alav z'chus v'nishtatek mahu. One of the talmidim says, I have a and then all of a sudden he goes mute, he can't speak. So Menafeach Rav Sheshes Biyadei Nishtatek Afilu Echad B'Sof Olam Nami. So Rav Sheshes, you know, was he was put off by this question. Come on, wait, Nishtatek, and no matter where a person is, meaning even if there are people that you're going to have to suspect that there might be people somewhere on earth that could be Melamed Zchus, even if they we don't know who they are, we never heard any from them. Meaning Iladav Rasov, a guy who says Avilim Zchus and he never even got to say anything, he never even got to speak, we're going to be choshish that maybe Hitaka had a limud z'chus. Come on, then you have to be choshish that there might be someone on earth who has a limud z'chus. That's crazy. So says Mar, no, there's a big difference. Hasam lo kamer, to be choshish that there's someone on earth, those people never said that they have a limud z'chus. Hacha ka'amar, but over here the guy said he had a limud z'chus and he just didn't have a chance to say anything, say what it is. So my, what's the din? Tashma, the Gemara says, we'll bring a raya. Dam Rabbi Yosef Yochanina, Echam Natamidim Shezika, that if one of the Talmidim was actually Melamed Zchus, but then he died before the vote of the Beis Din, we still count his vote L'Zchus. But Zika in, Lo Zika Lo. It's only because he actually was Melamed Zchus. But the fact that he had said that he would be Melamed Zchus, that's clearly insufficient. Says Mar, no, maybe not. Maybe Zika Pshitali Amarti Ba'ilach. Maybe had he been Melamed Zchus already, so then it's Pashut that we still count his vote. Maybe if he says that he has what to be Melamed Zchus, that's still a Shaila. It's not as Pashut that we count his vote, but it's not Pashut that we don't count the vote either. So it seems that this Gemara leaves it as an Ibayid Lo Ivshita. We're not sure if a Talmud says, I have a Zchus to be Melamed, and then he's not Melamed Zchus, we're not sure what the Halacha is. It's interesting though, the Rambam in the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Sanhedrin, Halacha Dalid says that if one of the Talmidim says, Yesh Melamed Zchus, and then he's Neshtatek Omeis, and he never gets to say it, Hareze Kemisha Eino, he counts for nothing. We don't care what he said. So what he would have said, we don't, because we have no idea what he would have said. So that's a little bit strange, because over here the Gemara leaves us in a bride of Shita. We're dealing with the Safik Nefashos, and the Rambam says, kill him! Safik Nefashos, we're going to kill him! He doesn't think it's a Safik at all. So the Radvaz explains that since Rav Sheshes was Menafeach Biyado, Rav Sheshes' initial reaction was, come on, this isn't really a Shaila. So even though the Gemara then rejected Rav Sheshes, but we pass him like Rav Sheshes, that there's no chashash. Min Chaschinuch says that from the Kes of Mishnah, it sounds that the Rambam doesn't have this last line of Zika Pshitali Amar Tibayilach. That the way the Rambam had the Gemara was that the Gemara concluded with the Raya that only if he was Melamed Zchus, but if he was not actually Melamed Zchus, then there's nothing to talk about. The Lecha Mishnah suggests that the Suffolk was Nifshat from Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina, that only by Zika or Choshesh, as opposed to if he was not actually Zika. The Gemara says Zika Pshita Amar Tibayilach, it's a Dechiyah Bialma. Sometimes the Gemara has something that's just as a way of saying it's not foolproof. Your Raya is not 100%. Says a Dechiyah Bialma, but it's not really a rejection of the Raya, which is a little bit difficult, because even if it's just a Dechiyah Bialma, we're dealing with something nefashos over here. So to say that we're going to kill the guy, so a Dechiyah Bialma should be enough to not kill the guy, you would think. Okay, afilu hu, afilu par mishonu shniya. So we said, even if he's Melamed Zchus himself, we bring him back, provided that there's mamish bedvarav. So says Gemara, even on the first and second time, there has to be mamish bedvarav. He has to have some sort of substantive claim to try to save himself. Vatanya par mishonu shniya bein sheish mamish bedvarav bein she'ein mamish bedvarav machzirin also. Only the first and second time, on the first and second time, even if it's ein mamish bedvarav, we're machzir him mikan ve'elichem yesh mamish. And after the first and second time, only if there's Yesh Mamish Bidvarav are we machzir him. But you see, it's against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah sounds like even on the first and second time, there needs to be Mamish Bidvarav. He needs to have some sort of substantive claim. So Rav Papa Tikumu Mipam Shnei Ve'ilach. Now, what our Mishnah means to say when it says that there has to be Mamish Bidvarav is after the second time. But the first two times, he doesn't have to really have much to say in order to bring him back. Says Rav Mino Yadi, the executioner is supposed to know. He's supposed to be a great legal mind to know if this person has something that's going to cause a stay in the execution. Well, we sent Talmidei Chacham along with him also to be able to make that judgment. Well, the Ika Mamish Bedvar Ini Lo Lo, and therefore they can make that assessment. So I asked the Gemara, V'lim Soleh Meikara, why don't we give those Talmidei Chacham to him the first and second time as well, and therefore you don't have to bring him back the first and second time, no matter what. So Agav Debay Yislo Matziyam or Kol Ma'ide Islay. We assume in the first and second time he's not really going to be able to fully express himself, and because he's going to be too terrified. So we don't want to put that pressure on him the first and second time, but after that he's already getting used to this whole spiel, so hopefully then if he has something to say, he should be able to get it out. New Mishnah, Matzlo Zuchus Patru, if they are actually find a Zuchus for him, so he's off the hook. V'imlav Yotzili Sakel, but if they can't find a Zuchus, so now he's taken out to be stoned. V'karuz Yotzili Lefanav, Ish Ploni Ben Ploni Yotzili Sakel Al Shaver Avera Plonis, Uploni Uploni Eidav, Kol Mishu Yodeh Lo Zuchus Yavol V'yelamir Alav. They would make this announcement, this guy for this Avera is being killed, here, these were his Eidim, this is when anyone could be Melamed Zuchus, should be Melamed. Amar Abai V'tzarech L'meimar, B'yot Ploni, they certainly in the announcement need to put the information that would relate to Azama. They need to make sure that the timing and the place is also part of the announcement, so that if there's anyone that could turn the Edom into Edom Zomim, we're going to want to find them. Dilma Ika Diyadiva Asum Mazim Lahu, because there might be someone who could be Mazim. Now the Gemara makes it very clear that there is that there's something missing over here, because it says Ukar is Yotzei Lefanav, they would make an announcement, and the whole Gemara is Lefanavin Meikar Alo, that they would make an announcement right then, but not before then. Why would I think they didn't make an announcement before then? I mean, what kind of diuk is that? I mean, that's normally the beginning of a question. Lefanavin Meikar Alo, but what about the time where they had the announcement Meikar? Wow, what time? Where? So because the censors took away anything that relates to Yeshua Notzri, so we don't have that text in our versions of the Gemara. But in the Chesronos HaShas, it fills in the story as follows. And the text that it has is that Aiva Tanya, but wasn't there a Brisa that tells us Be'erav Pesach Talu Li Yeshua Notzri Va'karuz Yotzei Lefanav Arba'im Yom, that when they hanged Yeshua Notzri, they announced 40 days in advance. He was killed in Erev Pesach, but 40 days earlier they were already announcing that Yeshua Notzri Yotzei Lisak Kol Shakishe Fehesis V'Idiachas Yisrael Kol Mishe Odeh Lozchus Yavo V'Yilamin Olav V'Lo Matzal Lozchus L'Tzol'u B'Erev Pesach. They announced for 40 days that he's a Mesis and Madiach, and anyone who wants to come be Melamed Zchus can do so, and no one was Melamed Zchus. Amar Ulu V'Tizbra Yesho Notzi Barafuche Zchusu. So the Chesron HaShas continues, what, is there any Zchus that you're supposed to try to be Melamed on someone like Yeshua Notzi Mesis who? Rachman Amar Lo Sechmol V'Lo Sechasa Olav. For a Mesis you don't do any of that. You don't you don't help the Mesis at all. So Ella Shiny Yeshadotzi, the Kar of Lamalchus Hava. Yeshadotzi was different because he was a Kar of Lamalchus, so as a way to appease the government, we made these announcements to try to be Mlamitzchus. And then the Gemara goes on, Tan Rabbanan, Tchamisha Talmidim Ayelo Yeshadotzi, Velu Hain, Masai, Nokai, Netzaruvoni Visoda, that he had five Talmidim, and each one tried to be Mlamitzchus for themselves using a pasuk, and this was the derech of the Minim and the Apikorsim, to always use a pasuk to try to show why their side is correct. So Asyul Masai, they brought Masai Armalu, Masai Yehareg, Haksiv Masai Avo Ve'ira'a Pnei Elokim. My name, Masai, is going to be Avo and Ira'a Pnei Elokim. So Armalu, Ain, Masai Yehareg. Now you're going to get killed. Haksiv Masai Yamos Ve'avad Shemo, Pasuk and Tehillim, Mem Aleph. Asyul Nakai, they brought Nicholas, Armalu, Nakai Yehareg, Haksiv Ve'naki Ve'tzadik Al Tarog. That you're not allowed to kill? Nakai, that's me. So Amrlo in Nakai Yarig Dixiv Bamistarim Yarog Naki. Paskatilim Parakyut. Asyul Neitzar, they brought Neitzar. Amrlo Neitzar Yarig Vaksiv Vinetzar Mishrosh of Yifra, Paskin Yeshaya. So Amrlo in Neitzar Yarig Dixiv Vatash Lachtim Kivrcha Kinetzar Nitav. Another Paskin Yeshaya. Asyul Levoni, Amrlo, Boni Yarig Vaksiv Bini Bechari Yisrael. Bini is Boni. So I'm the Bechari Yisrael. You can't kill me. Amrlo in Boni Yarig Dixiv Hine Enoch Yarig as Bincha Bechorecha. So it says Beferish in the Chumash. Asyul Letoda, they brought Toda. Amrlo, Toda Yaharik Haksiv Mizmar Latoda. So you're supposed to be singing to me, not killing me. So Amrlo Ein Toda Yaharik Dichsiv Zover Toda Yichabdineni. That he who shechts Toda is Yichabdineni, is honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that was all taken out of the Gemara. There's a famous comment to the Maril. Why is Yeshu called Yeshu Hanotzri? So he says the real reason is because he's Notzar Meishvi Isha like anybody else's. That he didn't come from any miraculous immaculate conception. He was notzar mi ishvi isha, so he's notzari. He is a regular creation like anybody else. But, says the Maril, when the Goyim ask us, we tell them it's because he's from Nazareth. So we say that notzari means he's from Nazareth. But that's not the real answer. The real answer is because he's notzar mi ishvi isha. So that's the explanation that the Maril gives. Okay, says the Gemara now. Om Rabbi Shulman Levi, on the top of Mem Gimel and Beis. Rabbi Shulman Levi teaches us two things about tshuva and kapara. Kol zovech is yitzro mizvada, love anyone who shechts his yetzer hara after his yetzer hara caused him to sin, and he really turns things around, and he says vidoy malav kasev kilu kibdul Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'shnei olamim olam hazeh va'olam haba. It's as if he honored Hakadosh Baruch Hu both in olam hazeh and olam haba. D'chsiv zovech toda yichabdineni. So once why are we quoting this over here? Because zovech toda yichabdineni is the last thing that was just mentioned in the Chasronos Hashas Gemara, that pasuk. Rabbi Shulman Levi, and once we mention Rabbi Shulman Levi about tshuva, we mention Rabbi Shulman Levi about kapara. V'zman shviz migdash kayim ad makrav al schar al biyado mincha schar mincha biyado. When the Beis Hamikdash was around, if you bring a certain type of carbon, so you get schar for that carbon. Avol misha daito shvala, but someone who is humble, malal avakasav kilu hikrav kol hakarbonos kulan. The Torah considers it as if he brought all the carbonos. Shnemar zivchei elukim ruach nishbara. That it's the zivchei elukim. All of the carbonos are a ruach nishbara, are a humble spirit. Not only is it as if he brought all the karbanos, but his tefila is not going to be rejected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemar lev nishpra v'nitka elukim lo sevaza. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to turn away a lev nishpra v'nitka. That a person who comes with the requisite amount of humility, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing and ready to accept his tefilas. New Mishnah. Hayirachuk mi beis haskila ke'esar amos. Once he got to about 10 amos away from the beis haskila, omrim lo hisvada. Then those who are escorting him would tell him, time to say vidui. Shekein terech kol amumsim misvadin. And that you should know that's what anyone is going to die has to say vidui. Shekolim misvada yeshlo chelik l'olam haba. And if you say vidui, you have a chelik l'olam haba. And we prove it to him, shekein matzinu ba'achan. That we find such a thing happened by Achan. Shomelo Yeshua b'ni, simna kavod Hashem Elokei Yisrael v'tein lo toda. That you should be misvada takarosh baruch hu. Vayan Achan is Yeshua. Vayomra amna anochi chatasi v'kazos v'kazos. He says, yes, I sinned, and this is what I did. Uminayin shekipelo viduyo. Okay, that proves that he said a vidur, but how do we know that it was a kapara, that his vidur worked for a kapara? Shnemar vayomra Yeshua ma'achartani yacharcha Hashem b'yom hazeh. That Yeshua says, yeah, you've done terrible b'yom hazeh. B'yom hazeh ata achur. You are stained and sullied biyom hazeh, but viatachol el maba. But in el maba, you're going to have a clean slate now because you said your vidui. V'meini yodeh l'sfados. Going back to the guy who's being taken out to be executed, if he doesn't know how to be misvada, omrim lo emor temi sasi kapara al kalavanosai. We tell him, listen, this is what you're supposed to say. That you're supposed to say that my misa should be a kapara for all of my sins. Rabbi Yehuda omerim ha yodeh shu mezuman omer temi sasi kapara al kalavanosai chutz me'avon zeh. That if he knows that he's innocent for the crime that he's being convicted of, he should still say a vidui for all the averus he's ever done in his life. But he's allowed to say chutz me'avon zeh because you are killing an innocent man. I did not do this. Amnulah the Chum said to Rabbi Yehuda im kain yehu kol adam omer kain kedei lenakos atzmo. Then every, you know, the death row is full of people who never committed the crime. And the person is always going to want to try to save face, and he's always going to say chutz me'avon zeh, and then it's going to turn out that the guy is never going to actually be misvada. The Achronim raised the issue. They're not sure exactly what the circumstance of the machlok Rabbi Yehuda l'chamar. Is Rabbi Yehuda suggesting that we tell him to say this if he believes he's innocent? I mean that we bring it up and that we say, look, if you really believe you're innocent, don't be misvada for this sin. Say, except for this avera. And the Chum say, how could you bring that up to him and mention that to him? Now, of course, he's going to take advantage of that. But if he says it on his own, that's no problem. Or is Rabbi Yehuda saying, no, if he says it, we certainly aren't going to bring it up. Even Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, we're certainly not going to bring it up. But if he wants to bring it up, we're not going to be mishaskin also. We'll allow him to say it. We'll allow him to say this vidoy and come along the Chum and say, no, we will not allow him to say this nusach of vidoy where he says, chutz me'avon zeh. So that's the discussion in the Achronim, exactly how to understand this. Tan Rabbanan, na, ein na, elalashon bakasha. B'sha shamar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yeshua chata Yisrael amar lefanav ribonu shalala mi chata. When Kodesh Baruch Hu told Yeshua that the Jewish people have sinned, Yeshua says, okay, who? Amar lev chidalitra nilach. I have to go tattling on Klal Yisrael. Hapel garalos, make a garal and figure it out. So halach vipil garalos v'nafal agaral alachan. He made a garal and the garal came out and achan amar lo Yeshua begaral amar lo. So achan said to Yeshua, Yeshua begaral atabalai. You know, you're coming at me with a garal. That's your evidence. Your evidence is that you pulled my name out of a hat. You know, Atov Elozer Hakohen Shnei Gedolei Ador Atem. Imani Mapiel Aleichem Goral Alechem Michem Unofel. You know, if a goral is just based on the names you put in the hat, you and Elozer are the two Gedolei Ador. If I would put both of your names in a hat and pull out one of them, so one of you would be the guilty party. I mean, it's ridiculous. Of course, someone's going to come out guilty. Amar Lo BeBakash Mimcha Al Tosi Lazal Goralos Shasidar Tzol She Tzchalik BeGoral. He said, do me a favor, don't be motzi laz on goralos, because we know that Eretz Yisrael is going to be divided one day with Goralos, and we certainly don't want that to be brought into question. Tos points out, Afagav de Bechalukas Haaretz HaYurim V'tumim. By Chalukas Haaretz, it wasn't just the Goral, there was also the Urim V'tumim, and part of the miracle was that they agreed with each other, that the Goral came out exactly like the Urim V'tumim. But that's probably what Yoshua was trying to say, that don't be Motzilaz and Goralos, the effectiveness of a Goral is going to be proven one day when we are Mechalik Eretz Yisrael. So Tain Todas, so he says you should instead be mevada. Amar misvada, you should say a vidui. Amar Ravina shchude shachte b'mili. Klum nevakish mimcha ela hoda'a. Tain lo todav yipater. That Yeshua sort of tricked him into saying a vidui. He says, don't worry, we're not looking to kill you. All we want you is to admit that you did wrong, and then we won't do anything. And then he admits it, like you know, you're disciplining a child or something. If you admit it, you'll get off. And he admits it. Oh my God. Gosh, you did that, and then you know, they punish him right away. So miyad ve'yanachan es Yeshua ve'yomer amna anoch chatos Hashem el keisol k'zos k'zos asisi. Yeah, I did it. This is what I did. Amra v'asi amra v'chanina melamit shema alachan b'shlosha charamim shnayim b'mei Moshe v'achan b'mei Yeshua. He actually violated three charamim, two in the days of Moshe, one in the days of Yeshua. How do I know that? Shneimar, he didn't just say chatos. He said k'zos v'k'zos asisi, that I've done like this before. Rabbi Yochanan amar. It was actually five charamim. Arba'a b'mei Moshe v'echem b'mei Yeshua. Four in the days of Moshe, once in Yeshua's time. Shnemar anochi chatasi, that's in the days of Yeshua. Vikazos. So the extra vav is another riboy. So it's the two kazoses and the two vavs, asisi. So that's another four. V'ad hashta maitai meloi anush. And why wasn't he punished up until this point if he had violated all of these charamim? Amar b'yachim shem lezer b'shem l'fish lo anush al nistar. Yarden, because the Jewish people were not punished for other people's hidden sins until we passed the Yarden. Once we go over the Yarden, now we have Arvus, and we're responsible for even for other people's hidden sins. Ketanai, Hanistar, so Gemara says that's really Machlok Tanayim. Hanistar, Hashem El Kenuva Nigla Son Levanenu Adolam Lama Nakudal Lanu Levanenu Val Ayin Shabaad Melami Shalana Shalun Stars Hashav Yisrael Siyad Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says we were only Nana Shalun Stars after passing the Yarden. Amalei Rabbi Nechemi V'chiyana Shalun Stars Liolam. Are we ever punished in other people's private sins? Velok Vernemar Adolam El Kshem Shalana Shalun Stars Kach Loana Shalun Shabgali Hashav Yisrael Siyad. No, what changed when we passed over the Yarden is now we became responsible for exposed sins, but hidden sins we're never responsible for. Then why were we punished for Achan's sins if we're never punished for someone's private sins? Because his wife and children knew about it, so it was not such a private sin. Okay, there happens to be just the idea that the Ran over here points out that the dots really should have been on Lashem Elokeinu, right? That's where the dots really should have been, but you never want to put dots on Lashem Elokeinu because it always shows that it's minimizing, it's ki'ilu, it's a violation of Mochek Hashem. Some sofrim, when they're afraid that there might be a chashash in a letter, they'll put a dot on it to come back to it, to know, to come and ask a shayla about it. So some of the poskim say, don't do that over the words Lashem Elokeinu or over the Shem Hashem because of that chidush arad, that it always makes it look like it's a partial violation of Mechikas Hashem. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from there.